Highway to Health?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Remember we told you GMAC's been approved to get bank bailout money to keep it afloat? Well, because of that deal, it will no longer have exclusive rights to offer low-interest loans to GM car buyers. In a filing this morning before the Securities and Exchange Commission, GMAC said the federal government will get 5 million preferred shares that'll pay 8% interest. That's in exchange for the $5 billion the government is offering it to avoid bankruptcy. President-elect Barack Obama and congressional leaders are getting together Monday. They're set to discuss Mr. Obama's lofty stimulus package. But some Republican leaders are already skeptical. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Republicans are worried that Democrats could try to increase the size of the stimulus plan to close to $1 trillion. And Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has warned that his party won't simply roll over or offer a rubber stamp. The Obama plan will likely include massive infrastructure spending, an extension on unemployment benefits, as well as aid to states facing increased costs for services like Medicaid. But interests as diverse as zoos, aquariums, and U.S. steelmakers are lining up for a piece of stimulus pie.
They're looking for the opportunity.
Ryan Alexander is president of Taxpayers for Common Sense.
That's their job. They're trying to protect or advance their industries.
American steel executives told the New York Times they'd like the bill to include a Buy American clause. And the U.S. Conference of Mayors put forward a plan that includes $1.5 million for a water slide in Miami. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Manufacturing among countries using the euro currency fell to record lows in December. That's according to the Purchasing Managers Index, which says the number is at an 11-year low. The index has been around for, you guessed it, 11 years. Asian economies begin the new year with more signs of deterioration. Today, South Korea says its exports fell 17% compared to last year. And in China, factory production is off the charts bad. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Chinese factory output fell by its sharpest rate ever recorded. That's according to the investment bank CLSA. Consumers around the world are buying less of everything from laptops to sofas to T-shirts. The report's factory job index in China also hit a record low. CLSA economist Eric Fishwick says he's never seen this kind of rapid drop-off in his career, and he expects it to get worse.
You should be prepared for a very, very weak first half, because a lot of that export slowdown is only just starting, and the second round effects in terms of labor being shed is only just starting to show up.
The report finds China's manufacturing sector on the verge of recession, something economists would have laughed off just 4 months ago. Beijing has rolled out stimulus after stimulus to try to juice the economy and prop up exporters. Fishwick predicts China will start to recover in the fall, but he thinks much of the rest of Asia will stay in the dumps for the entire year. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Light trading on this first business day of the new year. The Dow is basically flat, just up about 3 points, just a fraction of a percent this morning. NASDAQ and S&P mainly flat as well. Some Asian markets were still closed for the holiday, but the Hang Seng shot up 4.5%. European shares are up between 1 and 2%. Well, here we are in a traditionally bad month for Broadway, but this year the white lights could be dimmer and less profitable. Andrea Gardner explains.
In light of falling ticket sales, Broadway producers are closing the curtain on a number of plays and musicals. Among them, one-time box office hits like Monty Python's Spamalot and the teen musical Spring Awakening. Even many lower-budget roadshows around the country are feeling the pinch and are being forced to cut costs. Broadway is hoping for a stronger second act this spring. Gordon Cox covers theater for Daily Variety. He says it'll depend on investors, and right now, they are wary.
They're more comfortable holding on to their money right now than they are opening up their wallets to invest in what is always a risky theater production. And so the act of fundraising has become more difficult, even among those investors who regularly invest.
Shows currently attracting investors have attached big-name celebrities to guarantee ticket sales, or they have smaller budgets, so even a modest run might be enough to recoup initial investments. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Looks like people are opting for music of the digital kind. CD sales are down. People apparently don't want to store anything but something on an iPod or an MP3. iTunes and other internet-based music sources say sales soared 27% over 2007. Still, retailers say many consumers now only buy one song at a time, not full albums like they used to. So total album sales were down from last year. You're listening to The Morning Report for this Friday, January 2nd, 2009, at Marketplace.org. In the Palestinian-controlled Gaza Strip, a daily pounding of Israeli airstrikes has taken down strongholds of the Hamas leadership. This morning, a mosque was hit that Israel says was a rocket storage hub. Tensions are incredibly high there, and businesses are feeling the effects too. What was once a thriving underground trade, literally, is now plugged. From Jerusalem, Daniel Estrin reports.
More than 80 tunnels were targeted by Israeli warplanes this week. Now, almost all of the 800-plus tunnels are closed. They had brought weapons for Hamas and also commercial goods for consumers. There has been a recent sighting of bananas, according to an Israeli daily, which could mean that a brave few are still working the tunnels. But bananas don't make up for the lack of essential supplies that are running short, like cooking fuel. Gasoline is also in short supply. The UN is providing food aid to the poorest in Gaza, but other Palestinians are finding grocery stores almost bare. Also, glass window panes aren't anywhere to be bought in Gaza, which is why reporter Hassan Jaber is keeping his windows open.
Yeah, it's cold inside, but what to do?
Yeah, it's cold inside, but what can I do? I am afraid that at any moment the Israelis could drop bombs here and blow up my windows. So I always keep the windows open to avoid shattered glass.
What Israel is letting into Gaza are increased amounts of humanitarian aid and medicine, and as of today, what they're letting out are Palestinians with foreign passports. From Jerusalem, I'm Daniel Estrin for Marketplace.
This economic fallout is hitting pretty much everyone, unless you're a recluse and keep your money under the mattress. You know what's taken a particular hit? Charitable giving. And nonprofits, a lot of them, are competing for donor dollars. Sean Powers reports.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Miriam's Kitchen. This morning for breakfast...
It's a few minutes after 7 a.m. at the Washington, D.C. food bank, Miriam's Kitchen. About 150 people wait for a warm breakfast. Volunteers serve pancakes, chili, and fruit.
And would you like grapefruit?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Have a good day.
Miriam's Kitchen has a budget of $1 million a year, and a quarter of its support comes from local foundations and corporations. But as the economy tanks, some worry donors will use stricter guidelines to justify charitable giving. Lester Salomon at Johns Hopkins University is studying how the financial crisis affects nonprofits.
The old expectation that nonprofits were simply trusted because they were nonprofits, I think, is giving way to increased demands that they actually demonstrate their effectiveness.
Salomon predicts that will cost them the funding they so critically need. That's a concern of Sarah Gibson's. She raises money for Miriam's Kitchen. She's noticed many donors now ask for evidence of progress. She knows how many people Miriam's Kitchen feeds a year. But can she tell you how that changes people's lives in the long run?
Well, no, not at this point. That's may not be possible, and it certainly is expensive.
As a result, Gibson says she's more conservative about the donors she approaches. Tom Gunderson with the Council on Foundations says donors should pursue other methods of evaluating progress. For example, with Miriam's Kitchen, grantmakers might want to observe and interview people the kitchen serves.
I don't think one model can fit all, and I think we need to be very, very careful that while we talk about increasing the impact and effectiveness of philanthropy, we don't suggest that there is one metrics that can be used to evaluate every grant.
Gunderson says charitable givers and nonprofits should work together to identify the best models to track progress. In Washington, I'm Sean Powers for Marketplace.
The financial markets seem to be frozen. Does that mean deal makers have cold feet? It's amazing what a little desperation could do for an urge to merge this new year. Here's Jill Barshay.
Even with credit markets all but paralyzed, there should still be some money available for mergers and acquisitions this year. That's according to Robert Filek, who advises on mergers at PricewaterhouseCoopers. But the deals in 2009 will be a far cry from the high-priced unions of this past year. Filek says this year's M&As could look more like fire sales.
I think the activity we will see in 2009 will be mergers of necessity, which really means that I am going to do a transaction that helps me sustain this challenging economic environment.
Rather than corporate giants looking to expand, the shoe will be on the other foot. Troubled companies will be looking to initiate deals to stay afloat. The few lucky companies with cash on hand or stock that's worth something will be the big beneficiaries. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
How many times have you heard this? It's a buyer's market. But it's not just homes for sale. How about companies? Some investors are grabbing up corporate wreckage on the cheap. Does that mean a company resurrection or liquidation? From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The phenomenon is known as loan to own. Investors lend money to a desperate company or buy up its outstanding debt. Then, when the company can't pay its bills or files for bankruptcy, the buyout artists step in to take over. Harlan Platt teaches finance at Northeastern University.
In many of these cases, you can buy up these debt instruments at 5, 6, 7, 10 cents on the dollar. So you are buying into these companies cheaply.
And the potential return for private equity firms is huge. But Platt warns not every buyout will lead to a successful turnaround.
Those that simply are chasing this pack and buying up distressed debt without really fully understanding the operational difficulties of these companies are likely to be losers again.
Who else will be losers in this case is the employees, who will likely see what's left of their company sold off for scrap. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
New York City workers will have to find another mode of transportation because their cars are about to go away. Today's New York Times reports the city is asking employees to give back nearly 700 cars that the city owns. Many enjoyed the vehicles as perks, police, park employees, the health department. The Bloomberg administration says the move could save $20 million over the next couple of years. We live in a world of high-tech energy fixes, so when I mention home weatherization, you're probably like, wow, what's the big deal? Well, retrofitting your home to save energy costs has caught the attention of President-elect Barack Obama from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk. Here's Sam Eaton.
Obama's promise to weatherize 1 million low-income homes would increase current federal funding sevenfold. But Brian Keene with Smart Power, a nonprofit marketing group, says when it comes to improving energy efficiency, money isn't the main issue.
Number one is a messaging challenge because people don't yet understand the opportunity involved with conservation and efficiency.
That opportunity being money saved. Through simple fixes like sealing drafty windows and attics, many homeowners could cut their energy bills by as much as 30%. Keene says in today's economy, few investments match that kind of return. It's just a matter of breaking down the numbers.
We have to start talking in the terms and the language that the American people can understand. And when we do, then the light bulb will go off, no pun intended.
And it's not just homeowners who benefit. A weatherization ramp-up would also create green-collar jobs, an estimated 78,000 of them if Obama comes through. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Most houses of worship rely on tithing and plate passing for programs, even for survival. But some are finding the money coming in a little lacking. That's led to an increase in bankruptcies and foreclosure of some churches. And those who haven't gotten to that point are finding new ways to get by. Kate Archer-Kent of Red River Radio has more.
Hundreds of people rely on St. John's United Methodist Church for the basics, like food, shelter, and medical care.
Has the meal started yet?
Yes, sir.
That's Reverend Rudy Rasmus. St. John's charity programs cost millions of dollars. Most of that comes from his 9,000 followers. He says a handful of them are rich, like pop star Beyonce Knowles. She gave more than $4 million to build the church's transition apartments for Houston's homeless. But the vast majority of congregants are working class. Rasmus says they give less than $100 a year.
That's a lot of folk scraping by, doing what they can,
putting what they can in the collection plate. Churches are feeling the pinch.
California-based Barna Group studies trends among Christian denominations. A new survey finds churches across the country are likely to collect about $4 billion less this holiday season. George Barna.
If I were a leader of a church, I'd be very concerned because the fourth quarter of every year is the time when you tend to try to make up for some of the deficit spending that took place earlier in the year.
But if history is any guide, churches should feel little impact from the recession. Patrick Rooney is with the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University.
This is almost the one subsector that seems to be almost recession-proof. And our research has shown that religious giving is not very much affected by changes in wealth.
That research is little comfort at St. John's United Methodist Church as Houston's economy begins to mirror the rest of the country. Rasmus sees his food lines growing longer.
What we're finding is people are hungrier than ever.
At the same time, St. John's is tightening its belt. Weekly donations dropped into the collection plate are so far holding steady, but Rasmus is expecting a decrease as the recession continues. He's planning to scale back the budget for his charitable programs by at least $300,000. In Houston, I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
There's more on the economic fallout inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.